We're turning to the book of Acts tonight. A-C-T-S, Acts. Can anyone in this room pronounce the C-T? Oh, I'm sorry, man. Can you pronounce the C and T? I seem to say A-K-S, Acts. Hard for me to pronounce the C and the T. The practices of the Holy Spirit. Literally, that's what the Greek word reads. The practices of the Holy Spirit. Or the practices of the apostles. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Isn't that a wonderful name? Theophilus. Nobody wants to name their baby Theophilus. What does Theophilus mean? Isn't that wonderful? Theos and Philos. Theophilus, lover of God. A God lover. One of these days, those old names are going to come back again. I wonder if his parents were believers. I hope that his parents weren't idolaters and wanting him to be a lover of that God, whatever it was. Former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, living after his passion, after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Two infallible proofs that he was seen and he was heard. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And I can remember years ago in camping, the false prophet said everybody should leave the churches. This verse was so precious. The Lord said, don't depart from Jerusalem. Don't depart from the churches. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Notice he didn't tell them that there wasn't a future for Israel. He just said, don't be interested in the times and the seasons. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. No invisible coming. He's there. He's coming in literally, bodily. No invisible judgment. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey, according to the Pharisees, we assume, because there was no such distance given in the Old Testament scriptures. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, that is Jude, the brother of James. And that's only 11. Of course, one is missing who committed suicide. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Women were praying with them. And so were Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Isn't that wonderful? His brothers are in the prayer meeting. The same ones that were disrespectful to him, that didn't believe on him, they're now saved. Not too many days later. How many days are we talking? Just a few weeks later, his brothers are believing. Have hope, brother and sister. Just it was a few weeks from when they thought, these boys aren't going to be saved. These boys are unbelieving, disrespectful. And yet, here they are in the prayer meeting, praying. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. As I was reading the words in chapter 1 and verse number 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but I understood the Lord to say, but it is for you to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's our simple thought tonight. It is for believers to know the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and the power of the Spirit. We read verse 8, but ye shall receive power. It's not, well, you'll receive power first and after that you'll receive the Holy Spirit. That's what it seems to say. That's not what the Scripture is saying. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The power is the presence of the second or the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Or you could read it, and ye shall receive power, the Holy Ghost coming upon you. That's the power. Power is nothing, not something distinct from God. Power is the presence of God, is the Lord working in us and through us in such a way that is deliberate, that's planned, that's expected, that's predictable, that's an answer to prayer. There will be definite results, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Some read it, my witnesses, but witnesses in reference to me, not to you, not to the church, but my witnesses are witnesses in reference to Christ, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And we can certainly see the universal message and the application to us today. We need to have a preoccupation not with the times and seasons, but with the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to spread the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. A major theme in the book of Acts is witness or witnessing. That is, those who have seen and heard bear witness of that which they have seen and heard. They have seen and heard something, and they simply recount that experience. We have seen and heard from our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to bear that witness to others. While there are certain things that Christians are not to know or experience, we are to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Christ. So tonight it is for us to know the power of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the Lord tells us we're not to be speculators. We're not to have speculation, but Spirit-filled guidance in the Word. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, I think in every age, Christians are curious. We want to speculate things. And someone said that the two questions that Christians always seem to want to ask the Lord are, what are you going to do and when are you going to do it? And perhaps sometimes we ask as well, how are you going to do it? And we focus so much attention on the things along those lines instead of what has been clearly revealed, and we get busy about them. The point blank universal statement here is, it is not for you to know. It is not for you to know. And all across the board, believers have understood what that means. We all understand what the word know means, don't we? We all understand, though we may not obey it. We might reject it. We know what it means. Jesus said, no, you can't. I won't give you that knowledge. I won't tell you when it's going to happen. I won't tell you when I'm coming. I'm not going to tell you the minute, the hour, the day, the month, the year. I'm going to come as a thief in the night. Which means it's going to be a surprise. Now, a thief in the night will not overtake a person with a weapon in his hand. But a thief in the night will overtake a person that is not ready. The Lord Jesus was not saying that He's going to be a thief to us and overtake us. He's simply saying it's going to be a surprise. We need to be ready when He comes. We're going to be ready when He comes. It is not for us to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, His own power. That's what the word power, there's a play on these two words, they're synonyms. The Authorized Version uses the same word, but they're two different Greek words. God has placed in His own authority the times and the seasons. It's His right, it's His prerogative. He said, look, this is going to be a secret to everybody else. I'm going to keep this secret to myself. Does God not have a right to keep secrets? If He doesn't want to let us know the secret, then we just need to submit to that. But people want to delve into the secrets. Yes, there are secrets to the world that the believer has. The Bible says the secret things of the Lord belong unto Him, but those things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. But He doesn't divulge every secret to us. There are things the world just can't understand, and we understand that they've been revealed to us. They can't understand why we have such a preoccupation with this book. It's dead to them. It's lifeless. But you can't explain it to a dead person. This is living. This is these words are vital to us. They're the food for our souls. They can't understand that. John and his wife, I believe it was Linda, who were here from Rochester. John has not been saved that long, he said. He said he was saved listening to sermons on the internet. But he said, I began to read the Bible, and it made no sense to me for the first couple times that I read it. I assume the first couple times I read it through, but maybe just the first sessions that he read it. But he says, then the Lord opened my eyes. He converted me, and I understood. I began to understand the words of Scripture. There are secret things that the Lord does reveal to us that the world just cannot understand. But there are secrets that even God's people will not know. They're the deliberate concealing of God. And He's going to only reveal it at the time that the prophecy is ready to be unveiled. Certain things are purposely and deliberately hidden from you and me. Who is the Antichrist or the man of sin? God will not let us know until He is revealed. Or shortly before, perhaps. What countries will still exist when Christ comes? Will America still be here? We don't know. I suppose there were disciples asking back then, will Rome still be here? Babylon, Greece, Medo-Persia, Egypt. Egypt's still here. Isn't that amazing? The Lord told us in Isaiah, Egypt would turn to Him. Who are the elect of God? I believe this is part of it. What's the mode of baptism? Godly people for years and millenniums have said, this is the mode, this is the mode, this is the mode. God has not, contrary to what the people would viciously conclude, clearly revealed this in Scripture because the godliest saints have differed on these things. And of course, when is Christ coming has been purposely and deliberately hidden from us. Folks, let us not be preoccupied with speculation. Let us be preoccupied with Spirit-filled guidance in the Word. Be content to know the things that are freely given to us, that are revealed to us in the Scriptures. Let us not pry into the secrets that God has left in His own authority, in His own bosom. Many people are speculating about things that God has hidden and kept secret. You can get cold if you're not doing God's will, if you're not being obedient to His Word. You'll get cold, divisive. And when these prophecies of those who pry into the secrets of God are unfulfilled, then many are turned off. Waste of time and precious effort to reach souls for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're preaching a certain day of judgment. That was all, in many ways, a waste of time and money and effort. It's the preaching of Christ that saves sinners. Secondly, not human skill, but Spirit-filled enabling of saved sinners. That's the message. But ye shall receive power. Isn't that wonderful? Ye. You disciples. You disciples who failed. He's the God of the second chance. These men who are fearful, who are denying, who are doubting, who are proud, who are immature, who fled the scene. Ye shall be witnesses, but only if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be by might or by power. I think that you know that as he would relate that to them. Peter, you were in the flesh when you said you were going to stand up for me. Now, Peter, be in the Spirit and you will stand up for me. It will not be by might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not going to be our intelligence, our experience, not our studying, though we should study, though we should have experience, though we should be intelligent. It is going to be by the work of the Spirit. Ye shall receive power. Now that's the word not for authority. That's the word power, strength, ability. It's used of Apollos, who is mighty, powerful in the Scriptures. Oh, that God would make us all in this room mighty in the Scriptures. Able to use the Scriptures to answer questions. To encourage the downtrodden. To give hope to the hopeless. To use the Word of God to counsel people. It's used, you that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We should be strong. We should desire to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. It's used, when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's thank God when He exposes our weakness and our perpetual weakness. Things that we cannot, in a real sense, we won't become strong in. Weakness of flesh. Romans 15, that you may be able, that you might be strong with sound doctrine. That's in Timothy, sorry. That you might be able by sound doctrine to rebuke and to edify. The word able there is, again, the word for powerful. Oh, that God would make us powerful to use sound doctrine. The idea is energy, a surge, an ability that is beyond ourselves. The Holy Spirit coming upon us. It's mysterious, but it's real. We're trusting then in the wisdom and power of the Spirit of God in us at every moment. That's what it's saying. That we are intense. That we recognize morning, noon, and night that the power to live is the power that is provided for us in the presence of the Spirit of God in us. We need the power of the Spirit. We can't live in the power of the flesh. How often have we lived in the power of the flesh? It's not going to be by human skill or effort, but by the Spirit-filled enabling of saved sinners to witness. It is for us to know the power of the Spirit, not human skill alone, not speculation, preoccupation with the person who dwells within us. How often do we ignore Him? Yet we are His shrine. He is the one who dwells within us. It is God in us. We focus on the shrine and not the presence of God. Isn't it amazing condescension that God would dwell in our bodies? So as we're going, we say, Lord, You're the omnipotent, all-knowing God. Now use me. I'm weak. I'm a weak vessel, but the divine presence of God is in me. So let me dwell upon Your presence. Let me dwell upon the fact that You can enable me to do anything I ought to do. God will enable you to do anything you ought to do. That's what Bob Jones Sr. said. He's right. Anything that you should do, that you ought to do, God will enable you. Trust in Him. We're not to be spectators, but Spirit-filled witnesses of Christ everywhere. Stop gazing up into heaven, the angel said. Get busy. That's what we should do, right? Isn't that what he was saying? It was a thrill to see Jesus go. But now get busy. And that's the message for us today. Stop looking. You should be watching, but watching with your eyes not up in the sky. Watching in prayer. Let's get busy. Because the Bible says that you can hasten the coming of Christ by reaching souls, by preaching the everlasting gospel. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's a promise. If we're filled with the Spirit, we will be witnesses. But I'm afraid to witness. I don't know how to open my mouth. And when I open my mouth, it seems that all I do is stutter. Who made our mouths? Who made our bodies? And by the way, it says first, you shall be witnesses unto me. It doesn't say you shall witness, though I'm sure that that's part of it. But I think there is a distinction there. The life should witness first, and not just the tongue. They should see a change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. After all, the acts of the Holy Spirit, practices of the Spirit. They saw a change in their lives. The demon was now sitting and clothed in his right mind. The cusser is no longer cussing. The drug addict is no longer taking his needles. The maniac is no longer exploding and imploding his anger. Shall be witnesses of what you've seen and heard. I promise you. But you've got to wait and pray for the Spirit of God to come upon you. He's in you, but you've got to wait for Him to energize you. Expect Him to do it. And make sure that your message is in reference to me. You'll be witnesses unto me. We have no right to preach anything but what the law, the prophets, the Psalms, the Gospels, the Epistles, and the book of Revelation say. We have no right to preach our own message. We have no right to be the focus of our message, the object of our preaching. We must preach everything about Christ. It's reference to Him. You shall be witnesses unto me. The unto me means with reference to me. Let's find Christ in the Scriptures. Let's make sure we call people to Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us go back to the simple gospel. People need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the simple gospel. They need Him. This is Memorial Day weekend. We're thankful. You know, it was amazing. In the service today, there were four veterans, including Fred. And you know the four branches of service? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. All four represented. We saluted them. But the greatest battle that was ever fought was at Mount Calvary. Jesus went to Mount Calvary to battle for the souls of men. And He shed His blood on that battlefield. He died for us. God, the second person of the Trinity, came down and took human flesh and died on that battlefield for us. And was experiencing the wrath of Almighty God. But He said, "It is finished." Let us remember Christ. Let us point veterans to Christ. How sad for a veteran to give so much of his life for temporal freedom and perish. They need the gospel. You're right, Fred, to get the gospel to veterans in those parades. Don't let anything stop you. Keep going. Keep reaching sinners. And this message has to start in Jerusalem before it can go to Judea and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Think about that. We could understand if Jesus said to these 11 men, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Rome, in America." They would have been more than ready. But Jerusalem, Jerusalem, for we failed. I got to talk to that little maid who I denied Jesus in her and I lied to her. Go to the maid, Peter. You're not going to be ready to go to the uttermost part of the earth until you're ready to go back to that little maid. Until you're ready to go back to the soldiers. If you're ready to go back to the people that you failed. Peter, you ready to go back to Malchus? Tell him you're sorry for cutting his ear off. Hey, we need to first start at home. It sounds romantic to go across the world, to get on a boat and preach to the natives. But first we got to start at home. Then preach on the boat, on the airplane, before you arrive in the field. Jerusalem. Some of us need to go back home to talk to an old friend. Somebody that we failed. Someone that we misled even before we were saved. I'm sorry for leading you down that path. I'm sorry for giving you your first drink. I'm sorry for giving you your first drug. I'm sorry for introducing you to that first magazine. You know what? I've never told you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We were great friends all our life, and I've seen you since I've been saved. I'm sorry. I came to your home tonight just to say, I'm sorry. The greatest news in all the world I've kept from you. Will you give me some time to tell you about my Savior? Perhaps that needs to be done tonight. We've got to start in Jerusalem. Is there a neighbor around us that doesn't know the Lord, has never heard from us? Jerusalem's our Buffalo, our Boston, our Springville, our Hamburg. Judea's Western New York and perhaps the United States. We should be concerned. We should be encouraging Tim down there in Salamanca. We should be encouraging Bill Jones down there in New York City. If we can't get around too far into Judea, we need to encourage others. But may we expand. You know, I have found when I pray and pray for the Spirit to fill me and empty me of self and deal with my cowardice and deal with my reluctance, that He does. He answers prayer. But when I'm not praying repeatedly, when I'm not praying without ceasing about these matters, then I begin to become complacent and my burden subsides and the cowardice increases again. This is something that will never die. We fight it to the day we die. May I quote Bob Jones again? I'm reading his sermons lately. He said, "It's easier for me to preach to 10,000 people than to one. I have driven myself many times in the midst of great evangelistic campaigns to speak to one soul, because it is the hardest thing to do, to speak to one soul. The hardest thing I've ever had to do. I have done that type of work for 45 years under the whip and lash of my own will." He wasn't saying it was in his own strength, but he was saying, "I didn't want to do it. It was the last thing I wanted to do. But I got to go talk to my old friend, to my old relative. I'm not far from them. I can't leave this place and preach to all these strangers and miss the people that I grew up with." Samaria? We avoid those people. Samaria represents the people you don't like. Reach the people we're prejudiced against. Don't you know the Jews walk around Samaria to get to Galilee? Brother and sister, do you preach to black people? Do black people want to preach to white people? Think about lines that you've made in your life. What could it be? That person that you would never... Think of the person that every time you see him, the hair stands up on your arms and back, because of how many times they've offended you, hated you, spoken against you, used you, abused you. That's the person that Jesus is saying, preach in Samaria. Go to the Samaritans. We don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. Go to the Samaritans. Philip went to the Samaritans, and he preached Christ to them, and they believed. And Peter was called, and Peter went to the Samaritans. But perhaps in his heart he was saying, "I don't want to go to the Samaritans." Who's the Samaritan for you and me? Is it the aunt that you don't like? Is it the neighbor down the road that cusses you? That likes to throw his Coke can in your front yard? The Lord says, go to your Samaritans. Who's your Samaritan? You and I know the Samaritan. I mean, I think we all have a Samaritan. Jesus told, I tell you, it really struck not just the Pharisees, but it must have struck the disciples when the good Samaritan was willing to help a Jew. But the Jews were thinking, we'd have never done that if a Samaritan was on the ground. Brother and sister, we've got to get back to the old-time gospel. Why we're here. To live for Christ. To bring up our families, to fear God, and to be ready for heaven first. That's our Jerusalem. Our families. The church here. The immediate area. We've got to be faithful there. Don't go to Judea if you're negligent right now in Jerusalem. Be faithful in Jerusalem. Get your knots, get your loose ends tied in Jerusalem. Then go to Samaria. But don't forget Samaria, Judea. Don't forget Samaria. Let's break out of our prejudice zone. There's prejudice zones that we all have. Is God going to bless us until we're ready to break through those markers? And then to the remotest parts, the uttermost part, we should be interested in the Marshall Islands, in Japan, Myanmar, Edmonton, the south of Ireland, Jamaica, Liberia. Mark Allison and Paul C. Kanje are going to Liberia starting, I think, June 4th. We need to pray for them that God would give them power, the power of the Spirit. Pastors are hungry for teaching. They want to feed their flocks, but they can only take them as far as they know themselves. And Mark is going to feed the pastors so they can feed their flocks. We should be concerned about the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, I want you to take this message everywhere. If you can't go, you encourage and enable others to go. You be interested here and everywhere to spread the news. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We've got to break out of our comfort zones. We've got to break up our fallow ground. We've got to be burdened again. And it's going to take the power of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, the Spirit's burdened. He loves sinners. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit love souls. They love the people that Jesus died for. And may I say, God has a love in His heart for all souls. He's good to the just and the unjust. We need to be good to all. Where's your heart tonight? Is it in the kingdom of God or is it in the world? Is it in the world that's passing away? Is it in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? Or is it in the kingdom of God that's not going to perish? In the souls of men. Are you concerned about your wife and your children, that they're going to heaven and that they're going to heaven happily? And obediently, they're going to hear from Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you concerned about the church, your brothers and sisters here, that we're going to heaven happily, that we're going to heaven to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are we concerned about the souls of men? Do we look at people in Walmart and Home Depot and Tops and the parades? And the amusement parks that we'll go to this summer. And the flea markets. Do we look at people in those crowds and wonder, Lord, instead of saying, they're in my way and I got things to do and places to go, Lord, is there somebody here that I can tell about You? Is there somebody here that I can witness about what I've seen and heard? That I can tell them how great things the Lord has done for me? And we all know the arguments, don't we? I can't do it. I'm afraid. When I open my mouth, I stutter. What if they laugh at me? We know them all, don't we? But God made our mouths. God made our hearts. God can turn that man's heart even while we're stuttering. He can see. He won't notice the stuttering, but he knows that guy loves me. That guy's shaking. Trying to talk to me about Jesus, and I don't even really know what he's saying, but I know he's saying something about Jesus. And our love can break through if the intelligence or logic won't break through. We need the Spirit of God who can take such a frail instrument and use us. God loves to do that. That's His way, to take frail sinners saved by grace. Weak people. That's what glorifies Him. God uses weak people to magnify His name. Thy strength is made perfect through my weakness. I have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. If God used people that were all strong as they could be and as intelligent as they could be, who would get the glory? Wasn't that a great sermon the preacher preached? Wasn't that a great evangelistic appeal that man made at my door? No. That man was shaking in my presence. But God broke me and convicted me by that man's boldness and love and attempt to reach my soul. It's easy for me to be preaching this tonight and feel boldness right now. I'm aware of that dilemma. So often I have gone from the pulpit to the street and not known the power of the Spirit and the application of the very truth that I've attempted to preach to others. But I want to know the power of the Spirit. We're entering a period of great weather in Western New York where we can be outside, where people will be outside. And evangelistic endeavors can be so varied. I'm not asking you to be something that you're not. And to engage in something that you're not. We all have our own inclinations. And we, as long as we're saying, Lord, here am I. Incline me the way I should go. Not everybody can go on the streets passing out literature. Not everybody can be in the nursing home going door to door. Not everybody can stand at a street corner. Not everybody can do what you're doing. Not everybody can knit for somebody. Not everybody can make pies for somebody. I can't make pies. We can all do something to reach souls. First of all, do you love the Lord and do you love souls? If a passion is in your heart for the Lord and a passion for souls, and you desire the fullness of the Spirit, you will be a witness and you will witness. And the witness is simply telling people what you have seen and heard. Your testimony. Now, sometimes it's good to tell somebody else's testimony, but there's nothing like telling somebody your testimony. What God has done for you. You see, it's real. I'm finished. It is for us to know the power of the Spirit. God, help us to wait. Not too long. He doesn't mean by that He's going to make us... It was only, 10 days by the time He left and they got the promise fulfilled. Do wait until you're filled with the Spirit, but may we get busy for Jesus. May we be busy for Jesus. Preoccupied with His kingdom and His Spirit. Don't be preoccupied with temporal things. Don't let the devil hold out dangling it before the carrots. One day you're on your deathbed and say, oh, why didn't I give the prime of my life for the kingdom of God instead of all these things that pass away? It is for us to know the power of the Spirit. Oh, God. How we need Thee. How we need to come back to the basics. What is Your will? Lord, this is not a mystery. May we delight to do Your will. You're not willing that any should perish, but all of Your people should come to repentance. It's Your will for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's Your will for us to receive power to be witnesses unto Christ. It's Your will for us to go and teach all nations, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh God, don't let any of us fail. Don't let any of us come to that day of reckoning. And the fire burns all, and all that we had was wood, hay, and stubble. Lord Jesus, pray for us. We're weak and sinful. Forgive our sins. Take these vessels of clay and use us. Lord, we pray that you would break us and empty us. Mold us and fill us and use us. We need thee. Oh, Lord, we don't know how much we need thee as we ought. Make us feel our need of thee. Make us feel a burden for souls. Make us see, Lord, that hell is real, that there are souls right now groaning in hell, souls that are weeping. Let us, Lord, see men and women on their way toward a Christless eternity. They need the gospel. Oh God, enable us. We would wait for the promise of the Father. We would wait for the Holy Spirit to fill us. And then, Lord, help. Help us. Lord, we feel cowardice. We feel insufficiency. We feel we can't do it. We feel prejudices. We feel lazy. We feel the tugs of the temporal things of this world. So many things, Lord, tug us away from the duty, the primary duty, to prepare our families and our church and our communities for eternity. Oh, Spirit of God, we ask Thee to not let us fail in this endeavor, to have Your hand upon this church and each one of us. Lord, You would revive us and make this congregation a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus and for this community. Do it more than we can ask or think. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.